Says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say to my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Laid me down and slept. I await, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. We just have a prayer. Father God, no matter what takes place, dear Lord Jesus, we just look to you, knowing that only you know the outcome. We want to thank you for just watching over us, our families, dear Lord God, strengthening us when the enemy would come against us, dear Jesus. You're the only one who can help us, dear Lord God. We love you and we thank you. Bless our pastor as he prepares himself. Those that are still on the way, dear Lord God, may you bring them here safely. Your blessed, wonderful name, we just praise and thank you in Jesus' name. wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, how great is our God. So wonderful to us. My God. Thank you, Lord. get up here and it's hard to remember. Lord is good, though. Thanks. With a grateful heart, give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks.
Let me bow our heart, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to come in this place, Lord, and just give you thanks, Lord, for what you have done. Truly, you have done so much. You have done so great. Heavenly Father, we're asking you, Heavenly Father, to continue to stay with us, Lord. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, that we may be to stand against the wiles and evil in this world of the devil. Lord, we're asking you, thank you for giving us finance, Heavenly Father, to live, Heavenly Father, provide for our families, Lord. Heavenly Father, at this time, Lord, we just want to give back to you, Lord, the portion that you ask, our tithes and our offering, Heavenly Father. Father, we're asking you, Heavenly Father, to use it, Lord, Heavenly Father, that more men and women, Lord, that may come to know you and the pardon of their sins, Lord. Bless each and every one to give, Lord. Give us a foundation, Lord, to know, Heavenly Father, that you are all in all. We are everything that we need. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son.
pledged my life and gave them everything. And just to think you love someone like me, and just to think that he loves someone like me, I'm not perfect.
That day that he comes.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Rose and conquered the grave. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, young people. That was really wonderful. My God. Special here. It's one of my favorite little songs. I better stop now. Sister Tina, please. You may be seated.
Economy's down, people can't get enough pay. As for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Yeah, yeah. Folks without homes, living out in the streets, and the drug addicts, some say they just can't be. No place seems to be safe, but you've been my protection every step of the way. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Yeah, 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 yeah. It could have been me outdoors with no food and no clothes. Another number with a tragic end, but you didn't
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Oh, I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Somebody give God thanks for all that he's done for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God, my God. Bless the name of Jesus. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Amen. Forever. We thank God for that. Awesome God, if you don't mind. I just got a couple of praise reports here that I want to acknowledge. Amen. How many just love Jesus this morning? I might be too high up here on the monitors. Amen. We certainly want to thank the Lord for yesterday. We had two homegoing services. Our sister Samantha Benjamin and, amen, her brothers, their mother went home to be with the Lord, and they had the service on yesterday. We were able to make it, and, amen, it was just a real blessing to be there. Also, yesterday we had our sister Donna Coleman at Brother West Coast Church. She also had her homegoing service on yesterday, and we had a wonderful time there, amen, and worship just at the church. It turned out real, real nice. Turned out real, real nice. And, you know, I know that many of us, anytime someone passes, and, you know, we have to kind of go back through the doors of the church, and we see that casket laying there, it just brings memories, amen, back into our minds. And but you know, it's good when the Spirit of God just kind of come in and just make things so easy, amen, for you just to worship. And you know, we just appreciate that. And one thing I have in my mind is that I'm looking forward to going to that tabernacle someday where there'll never be a funeral preach. Amen. I can't wait to get to that tabernacle. Hallelujah. My God. And, you know, I'm on my way there, church. I'm on my way. We have this praise report from Sister Rolande Delanois. It says, I greatly appreciate how the church has been a great support to Sister Samantha through her time of loss. And Brother Jack and Sister Erica have been extremely amazing to the family. Thank you. It means a lot. So, amen. We appreciate that testimony of praise and being on the inside and just able to kind of hear some of the things. She knows why she puts that in place. And one of the, sang at the service on yesterday, and one of the relatives, they were introducing me, and they said, you know, this man had a chance to pray Marie Benjamin is her name. So he had a chance to pray with her, and he was there with her, and you know, and he's here today, you know, just to sing a song to bless our hearts. And you know, we're just so happy that he was there. And you know, just a small act of kindness can go a long way with people sometimes, and you just never know what it means. But just sometimes going the extra mile just means so much to somebody. And he come up from Miami, and he told me, say, I want to come up to your church. I want to come to your church. I said, well, you're welcome at any time. Say, I'm gonna get with Samantha, and I want to come up to your church. I said, well, praise the Lord, you know. But just from services like that, people see the love that is displayed, amen, and expressed, and you know, and that's what draws their hearts. So keep that family in prayer. Also, Sister Robles says, thank you, saints, for your prayers for me and my family. Just to let you know that my daughter Erica, God gave her a job. Is it teaching?
Amen. A teaching job. Praise the Lord. Amen. Says, thanks be to God, our Savior and provider. So, amen. We appreciate the Lord just meeting the need of her sister, of their precious daughter, Erica. Amen. Thank God for that. And I know about another job, too, that was just given, because I approved for that job to be given. Amen. Sister Linda got a job at the county home, Healy Center. We thank God for that. I saw her name come across, and amen, I clicked on approve. So let's get the paperwork processed real quick, you know, for Sister Linda. And, amen. We thank God for her. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Amen. Amen. My God, my God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God. Oh, our God. He reigns. Oh, with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Oh, with wisdom, power, and love. God, yeah, God, He's an awesome God, and He reigns, oh, with wisdom, power, and love, oh, yes, He is our God, oh, He's an awesome God, yeah. This is a battle cry. Oh, 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 oh. God is an awesome God. He reigns. Oh, with wisdom. Oh, everybody say, our God. He reigns. Oh, with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Oh, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Just the voices this time. Every voice lifted. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven up. trouble with waves. Some power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your precious spirit being here in our midst. Truly, Lord, we feel you here. We ask that you would come, Father, to meet every need that's in this place. You know what your people are going through and what they're facing. Some are sick in their bodies, haven't even shared the condition with their family members. But God, you know all about it. And Father, here today, I believe that you're able to speak to situations and conditions. We ask that you move by your spirit. Lord, and we realize the weather right now is somewhat unfavorable. There might be some saints there in the parking lot, Lord, desiring to come in just to get into the house of God. We ask that you just lighten up the weather, that they'll be able to get into the house of God and come in and get their portion for the day. And Father, we just appreciate all that you do, even this little drought that we've been having here, and you brought the rain, Lord, just to kind of cover, and we appreciate you doing that, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did. We're thankful. We're grateful. We ask as we prepare our hearts to go into the Word of God today that you would speak to us in only a way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. You can clap your hands. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you all. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate all the specials that was sang this morning. Amen. I heard Brother Wisdom say got a little rusty there and missed timing on some of that, but we appreciate you, Brother Wisdom. Amen. We appreciate you. Amen. We thank God for you, and I think it's very important that you have multiple gifts that continue to flow, amen, in the church. It makes it real easy. I mean, our brother Caleb, the Lord has blessed him in his ministry, and he's going to be out sometime. So we got to have the gifts just in constant flowing. So if he's gone, we don't miss it. We just keep going, right? Amen. And, you know, and I just appreciate all that I see God doing. Amen. I see God doing some restoration. Amen. I see God doing some repairing. Amen. I just see God doing a lot of things here in our midst, and I'm grateful for that. So I just thank God. Thank God for everyone that came and did something in the service. Thank God for you all just being here. Even though you're going through trials, you're still here. Amen. And we appreciate that. I'm going to read from Genesis 39 this morning. We had a pretty long day yesterday, and God brought us through, and we're thankful for that. Amen. Went over there last night to Okeechobee, and we just had a wonderful time in service. Brother McBride preached a wonderful service there, and my. You know, y'all just don't know. Amen. God got a way of speaking. Amen. So, but, you know, I just appreciate the Lord. So, let's read out of God's word, and I'll just ask everyone to stand that can stand. Amen. Let's just read here out of Genesis 39, and let's start here at verse 1 through 3, and then I think I'll pick up verse 19. So it says here, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And skip down to verse 19. It says, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph, Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. Amen. On today, if somebody would just grab me a bottle of water there, please. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. This is a pretty long title that I'm going to give. Amen. We'll just do the best we can with it. I want to title this, let's see here. Okay. We're going to title it, This is Not the End, It is Just Part of the Process. Amen. This is not the end, it is just part of the process. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank the Lord. If you all would excuse me this morning, I have to be a little personal about something. Amen. And now, as I share, I want you to remember my title. This is not the end, it's just part of the process. Amen. And oftentimes you go through things, and I want to encourage you, when you're going through a trial, always try to find somebody in the scripture that you can identify yourself with. And as you look at them in the scripture, and if you can get to the end of the their story. Amen. If you are reading a book and you want to go to the end of the book to see what the outcome was, amen, then you can kind of expect the same outcome in your particular situation. Amen. But the thing about it is that we should never get too comfortable just reading the end of the situation. Because if we, you know, if we read the end of the story, then we can't appreciate what happened at the beginning, in the middle, and then at the end. And see, unless you can appreciate what happens at the beginning, how this thing even got started, where I'm at right now, amen, and then where I'm going to, amen, then you just kind of lost, you know. Amen, you got a premature joy. All right, that's all it is. It's just a premature joy, and you want something that's going to stick with you. That if somebody was to write your testimony, they would look at the beginning, they would look at the middle, and then they would look at the end. And tell yourself, this is not the end. This is just part of the process. See, I don't care what you're going through this morning. I'm here to tell you that this is not the end. This is just part of the process. Man, sometimes you got to speak back to the devil. Amen. You gotta share with the devil where you stand. Satan, I'm going to look you right in the eye, and I'm going to tell you, this right here is not the end, but this is part of the process. God will give you revelation when you're in the middle of something. Amen. And when he gives it to you, you got to hold on. With everything you got, you got to just grab it, hold on to it. Sometimes you can't see how it's going to work out. But let me tell you something. If you could see it, then it would not be faith. Amen. But when you can't see it, that's the way God wanted. You got to walk by faith. Which means sometimes you got to walk blindly. Amen. You got to walk blindly. But I tell you what, understand something. When you're walking blindly, amen, you still got some things that you can use to help you get through. Amen. That's why God gave us five senses. Even when the sense of eyesight is gone, amen, we can start feeling our way. And you just keep walking by faith and not by sight. No, I mean, I was telling my wife, we was at the store one just recently, and I was walking out and to the parking lot, and they have this little something on the ground there, and it's like little spikes, it seemed like. And when you put your feet on them things, you start to walking. I mean, it just seemed like the spikes just going right into my feet. I said, I can't stand this part of the street right here. She said, that's for people that's blind. That way that they know that they're approaching some traffic. I say, okay, I understand. I can appreciate it now, you know. I can appreciate why that's sitting there. See, sometimes when you get a revelation of what's going on, then you can appreciate what you're going through. And I say, yes, I understand now. So I approach it with a totally different, amen, approach as I see that. Amen. You can use some other things. Amen. That blind person can use them feet to know I'm approaching some oncoming traffic. And even a person that can't hear, they can also use that same thing. I can still use my touch. I can still use my feeling, you know, because there's something there that I might not be aware of. But if I can't see them or I can't hear them, maybe they can see me.
All right.
Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, God sees everything that you're going through. Don't you be discouraged this morning. This is not the end. This is part of the process. So I was just sitting there even on yesterday and looking at the different ones that we had to give homegoing services to. It's and like I said, if you've ever been there and you've done that, it always brings memories back to you. And even you've gone through years and you feel like you've made some progress, and you have. You've made a lot of progress, but as soon as that moment comes up, it's just like a flood of memories. Just come right back, and you just can't help yourself but thinking over where God has brought you. And you know, sometimes you're able to take those thoughts and you're able to minister to other people as they're going through their time of need as well. You know, but it's just one of those things where you're just like, man, these thoughts, wow, oh my, I remember this, I remember that, you know. But I tell you, it's just amazing the presence of the Lord, how He just kind of gives you what you need to bring you through, amen, that situation, that circumstance. And you know, I thank God for His presence. Amen. It gives me strength. It gives me hope. It gives me peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. The presence of the Lord can do this. See, the presence of the Lord can give you peace. You know, the presence of the Lord will give you strength. And, you know, when you feel like, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. All of a sudden, you get into His presence and you feel like you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Amen. I didn't think I'd be able to say those words, but I feel like I can do it now. I didn't think I could sing that song, but I feel like I can do it now. I didn't think I could play that note, but I feel like I can do it now. That's the way God does it in His presence. And church, anytime we are in need, amen, we go to His presence. That's why we come to church. We want to get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. And you know, as I thought about these different ones, and you know, and my encouragement to each one of those families, this is not the end. It's just part of the process. It's just part of the process. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I have something to share, and I never know when is a good time. And what I'm going to say is, it's never a good time to say, but I have to share it. You know, I had a tremendous trial this week. Amen. And when I say this, now, church, again, I'm going to say it, but I don't, I want people to remember my title, because today is just part of the process for me. Amen. And when I say remember my title, I don't want you to get a sad countenance. I don't want you to get upset and, you know, and mad. And just thank God, because, amen, God is still good. He's still good. Amen. But many of you know that I have been just under tremendous attack on my job, you know, under tremendous attack. There's been some, over the past year and a half, there's been a lot of things that have transpired where I was really, really being taxed as to, you know, being able to serve full-time pastor, service pastor, and still full-time job. It's been a journey. I've been serving for 14 years at my organization. 9 years I've been serving as pastor of the church, as well as a man there on the job for 9 years. And so, you know, it's just been an onslaught. This after that, after this after that. And with me and my demeanor, I just go through stuff. If you put it on me, I just go through it. You know, I feel like God understands, and he'll do whatever he's going to do at whatever time. But if you give it to me, okay, I'm just going to do it, you know. And this is what they were doing. They kind of came up with a few things that they wanted me to do, and I nailed every one of them. I knocked them all out for them. And a little, you know, that was not good enough. So they came up with something this week. Amen. They called me into the office on August 17th. Now, August is number 8. Some of y'all know about that. That's the number of new beginnings. Some of y'all heard that yesterday, right? The number eight is the number of new beginning. Now, and in case you did not know, the number 17 is the number of victory. Oh, so what I'm sharing with you on August, now y'all just shout it. Now I'm getting ready to say something to you. I want you to keep shouting after I say this. But August 17th, they called me into the office and told me I was terminated.
Amen.
Y'all still shouting?
Not yet. Come on, y'all.
What's the title? This is not the end, but this is part of the process. So as of August 17th, I became a full-time pastor. Now that gives the devil a mind battle. Because we're not going to cry, we're going to speak, and we're going to move forward. Satan, you ain't do nothing but help us out. Somebody say, now they rejoicing, and the pastor lost his job. The pastor been working many jobs. But the pastor got one job that God called him to. That's to be shepherd of Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. So I'm like, amen. That's why I say I want you to keep rejoicing. Amen. Because this is not the end. And I'm telling you right now, I am not fighting to get that job back. I don't want to go back. Amen. I got other work that I must do. I went to church last night. God have mercy. I went to church last night, and maybe I ought to read it for the church to understand. All right, Matthew 4, if we can just read that. Amen. I want y'all to see, you know, this is what happened when you go to church. God will speak to you. The brother was telling me that he didn't even have a chance to study. He took the wrong turn to get here to Okeechobee last night. He took the wrong turn to get there, so it delayed him in getting there. And then when he got there, after an eight-hour drive, he got there, and they told him it's too early for you to check into the hotel. So, oh, my goodness. And he said, I got a few hours before service, and here I am, Matthew 4:18. But he said, here I am, I ain't even studying. I got to get something for these people. And church was packed last night.
Yes,
you know. And here he come out like, I ain't got nothing to say. Even when you ain't got nothing to say, if you just stand up there, God will speak through you. That brother did that last night, and he read this scripture and said a few words that I'm like, that is thus saith the Lord to Brother Jack Duff. Matthew 4:18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. All right? And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And he went on to say, says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Yes. Now, I need you to understand something. This was their trade. This was the way that they made money for their families. See, they were fishermen. They went out every day, caught some fish, came in, went to the market, sold it, and this is how they made money for their families. Uh-huh. Jesus walks up to these brothers and say, leave your job.
Right. Come on. That's what he's saying. Come on now.
Leave your job because I'm going to make you fishers of men. And you can imagine, because if Peter, and you read his story, you can see Peter's like me. Peter believed God sometime, then Peter's disbelieving God at other times. Uh-huh. Anybody go through that same cycle? Lord, sometime my faith is up here, and other times, Lord, it ain't happened yet, so I don't know if it's going to happen, so I better not say nothing. Uh-huh. Amen, but even when ain't nothing happening, you still got to speak by faith. Call things that be not as though they were. Amen. I can imagine Peter now. Wait a minute now. Jesus, you're telling us to leave everything we have and follow you. Are you hearing yourself? And the Bible says straightway. And the brother brought out this point and say immediately. Uh-huh. Straightway means immediately. They stopped doing what they was doing. Not wait till I get my nest egg. Wait till I got this all together, because that's me. Lord, I don't want to go into full-time ministry until I got some things ironed out. Because, you know, you blessed me with this job, didn't you, Jesus? You know, and since you blessed me with this job, let me get a few things ironed out, and then I come follow you. Then I dedicate myself full-time. That's the way we think, but when God calls, he wants you to come right now. Don't wait till you get it all worked out. Let him work it out for you. So straightway, immediately, and boy, August 17th, it was immediate. And all I did was shake hands and just walked out the door. Because I say, Lord, you allowed this to happen. Ain't no way things like that, after you done stirred for 14 years and ain't nobody can point a finger at you. And then something like that happened, you know God had other purpose for it. And I'm so glad that I can walk in the scripture. There's a three-letter word in Romans 8:28. A-L-L, all things.
Yes,
you mean when you lost your job? All things. When you got sick in your body? All things. Huh? When this person left you and that person left you? All things. Work together for good to them that love God, and not only that, but them that are called to what? His purpose. Not your purpose, but when you've been called to his purpose, it's got to work together for good. That's why I can stand this morning and say this is not the end. This is just part of the process. I had to go to prayer, and while I was in prayer, God gave that to me. Said, this is not the end. This is just part of the process. This is just part of the process. Amen. Even when you're looking at your situation, because that's why I say you got to don't look at Brother Jack, and you going through some things too. And you got to find yourself in scripture. And when you look in scripture, you say, wait, this is what this person went through, that this person went through, that this person went through, that, and this is what the outcome was. Then God, I can expect the outcome for me to be the same. But like I say, now don't just go reading the end of the book all the time. because you miss what's going on in the middle. You miss the process. Hallelujah. Now, we found a character here in the scripture, back over in Genesis, that we felt was very appropriate to where we were. And when God spoke to me, this is not the end, this is part of the process, that's the first character he brought to my mind, is Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 39. And I want you to look at this with me, amen, just a little careful mind. I had some things that I wanted to read, but if y'all don't mind, we'll just let God have his way, amen, this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of y'all been praying for me. God has answered your prayer. I had it in my Bible. I had five things that I had in my Bible, and I wrote it. Y'all remember Brother Diggs had preached a message about how Hezekiah spread his letters before the Lord. And they said, whatever you want from God, just write it down and put it on that scripture and just spread it before the Lord. Well, one of the things I put was my job, because I knew it was too taxing, but I wasn't going to leave. I'm not going to quit. I can't do that. That's not a good testimony. I just couldn't take it. I just quit. No, you stay right there. Amen. Don't quit. Make them get rid of you. Amen. And now it's on them, not on you. All right. I ain't do nothing. They called me in. Amen. But you don't want it to be, well, you know, you tore up this on the way out and you did this. Not. Shake their hands, they praise God, and just walk right on out the door. And I'm going to tell you why I do it that way. Because that scene will be replayed again someday. Now, my prayer is that people will repent so that it don't catch them at judgment. But if they don't repent, it'll catch them at judgment. And when you thought the Son of God was just going to tear up the room, he walked out shaking your hand. I can see God on his throne. Oh, my!
Yeah. Yeah.
That's character!
Yes.
Did you see what just happened, boys? I sent my prophet to preach a message about Christ being on two feet in people.
Hallelujah.
And the only Jesus that some people are going to see is the Jesus inside of you. Did you see what just happened down there?
Hallelujah.
That's my son.
Amen.
My child.
That's all right.
And when I told y'all a few weeks ago, I am his responsibility.
Amen.
I had another quote up here. I read it to you just a few weeks ago. You have to go back and get the tape. But I say, Abraham had to face his final test before God would count him worthy to receive the promise.
Right.
Was that my final test?
My.
Before God found me worthy to receive the promise.
Yes.
All of these things, God been preparing us. That's why I ain't going to get discouraged right now.
My Lord.
No, I'm going to be encouraged.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Forgive me for being so personal this morning. Here in Genesis 39. I want you to see this. Verse 1 says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2 here in Genesis 39, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Can we get that Genesis 39, 2? Okay, and let me read verse 3 as well, and I'm going to come back to that. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, this, as I read this week, it blessed my heart. Look at that. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, let me give you just a little history. Joseph was... Amen. A son of Jacob, and he was actually he was loved by his father, hated by his brethren. Amen. And the scripture says, Brother Branham brings out, they hated him without a cause. I mean, there was no reason for them to do what they did to Joseph. Joseph was, when he went, his daddy sent him on a mission one day, said, go check on your brothers, make sure they're doing all right. And his brothers that saw daddy give Joseph this, what we, a rainbow coat. It was made of seven colors. You know, and amen, just like the church has been made through seven, the Gentile church through seven church ages, you know. Joseph had a rainbow coat of seven colors, and Brother Branham said there's seven original colors, you know. So what we have here is they got jealous of their father treating Joseph so much different than he treated the rest of them. But Joseph was a son of the lady that he truly loved. He got tricked into marrying the other daughter. See, what goes around comes around. Jacob was what we call a shyster. Amen. And he was tricking people all these days. And now God had an opportunity to bring it right back on him. Amen. And then the very woman that he loved, he closed up her womb and wouldn't let her have no children. He blessed the other one with children. And that's how we get the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel, of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel later on. But Joseph was, amen, a son of the wife that he truly loved. Amen. And that was Rachel, right? Amen. Rachel was the one that he truly loved. He was the firstborn of that wife. So he really treated Joseph special. Joseph went one day about, God gave him a dream about being, you know, seeing some, the moon and the sun and the stars bowing down to him. And he shared it with his family. And when he shared this dream with his family, immediately his daddy said, you know, what you trying to say, son? You see me and your mama bowing down to you and your brothers? Is that what you're trying to say? Why would you say something like that to us? I didn't ask God for the dream. He just gave it to me. See, and this is what Joseph's position was. So one day his brothers, they was really upset about this, by God dealing with Joseph in this manner. They were very upset with that. So they looked for opportunity that one day I'm going to get Joseph.
All right, come on.
I want to tell you that people look for opportunity. Amen. To lay their hands on you. But I want you to understand something. It's not the end. It's just part of the process. Amen. So there, here's Joseph, amen, sitting there and going through this particular trial with the hatred that's going on inside the family and all that is coming after Joseph. But Joseph, his father one day decides to send the brothers off to take care of the sheep. And Joseph, I want you to go see about their well-being and come back and report to me how they're doing. Joseph went and they weren't in one place that they thought they would be. So somebody told him, Joseph, go over here. You'll find your brothers. He found them and they saw him coming. Oh, my, this is our opportunity. Boy, we're going to get Joseph now. And some of the brothers wanted to kill him. But somebody, I think Reuben stood up and said, no, please don't kill him. We don't want blood on our hands like that. Say, I tell y'all what we do. Let's just take him and let's just put him inside this pit. And when we put him in the pit, Reuben had in his heart, after my brothers leave, I'm going back to get my brother out of that pit. But he's a little bit too late. Yeah. Because before, amen, he can get back, they saw some Ishmaelites coming. Now, Ishmaelites, you got to understand, I mean, all of this means something. The children of Ishmael, amen, did not like, amen, the children of Isaac. Uh-huh. Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had Joseph and all these other brothers. They did not like them. There was already animosity there. And here, they would choose to sell their brother out to the children of Ishmael as a slave. Here he is, he goes, and they got him out of the pit, raised him up, and took him, and, you know, caused him to be a slave down in Egypt. And here in Egypt, we see this, and I want to bring that scripture up one more time. I want you to see something, because when he got to Egypt, he was taken to Potiphar's house. And he was there, and look at what the Bible says. After everything I just explained to you about what happened with Joseph and even how he got there, it was unfair that his brothers would throw him in a pit and sell him to some slaves. But even in the midst of this, look at what the Bible says. And the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, in my mind, I'm trying to figure out how is God with Joseph at a time like this when everything seemed to be going against Joseph and still we can say God is with Joseph? Lord, if you're with me, you will stop all this from happening.
All right.
Lord, if you're truly with me, then nothing bad will happen to me.
All right.
if you're truly with me.
Right.
Oh, glory to God. This is true Christianity here. When you got to learn how to have what we call a yet praise.
Right. That's it.
When everything is just all against you, you still have a yet praise. Pull that down, and I want you to go to verse 21. Amen. In that same passage of scripture. And before, just get it ready for me. I'll tell you to bring it up in a little bit. Joseph is down here at Potiphar's house, and everything Joseph does is blessed in Potiphar's house. And as he's going through this particular trial in his life, you know, he's away from his family, away from his father, his mother, his brothers, and amen. And still in this condition, the Bible's saying God was with Joseph. Sometimes that just blows your mind. If I can just get you to see even this morning, with whatever you're going through, God is still with you right now.
Yes.
Even though you don't feel it, even though it just don't seem like he is. See, Brother Brandon preached the message, be certain of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Even when it seemed like, man, I can't feel God, I can't hear God, I can't see God, but he's still right there. And you got to be certain that he's there, because he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Joseph is here in Potiphar's house. And God is blessing Joseph, puts him really second in charge in Potiphar's house. He got control of everything in this man's house. He's running everything for him. But there's something that happens here while he's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar goes on a little vacation, a little trip, maybe a business trip or whatever it was. Potiphar leaves, and there's one person that Joseph doesn't have any control over here. And she realizes that, but what she does is she invites Joseph to come lie with her.
Uh-huh.
And Joseph... Amen. Got in trouble because of a lie.
Uh-huh. My.
Joseph lost his job in Potiphar's house because of a lie.
Brother, you in Sunday school, brother. Yes, sir. Yes.
Amen. See, because of a lie, he lost his responsibilities in Potiphar's house. But I need you to understand something. When that occurred, that was not the end of Joseph. That was part of the process. Joseph, because of this lie, Potiphar come home and believed his wife. Now, Potiphar, I think, knew that his wife had this kind of spirit on her. This ain't the first time this done happened.
All right.
Oh, my God. Usually when people done you some way, they done somebody else the same way they did you. And the reason they felt like they can get away with it with you, because they got away with it with somebody else. My prayer is that I hope it don't catch you at judgment. Because I don't know about the other person, but I know who I am in Christ. I am the wife of Jesus Christ. And my ultimate position is to sit on the throne next to my king.
All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Joseph was thrown into prison over a lie. And look at this. Verse 21. Are y'all reading that? The man is in prison now. And the Bible declares that while he's in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. Wait. God, I am in prison. How can you be with me now? If you were with me, you would have stopped me from having to go to prison. Let me just read something to you. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I'm stealing your thunder because y'all gonna need to go back and read this about the life of Joseph. This is a homework assignment for you. If I can go all the way back into Genesis at the beginning and find a character in the Bible that's going through something that I might be going through right now, then all I gotta do is look at what they went through and then look at what happened at the end, and I know what my outcome gonna be. I already know it. And you know, but you know, I can't talk about God from Joseph's experience. I got to be able to talk about God from my own experience. Amen. See, I can't stand up. Well, yeah, Lord, I was faithful because of what you did for Joseph. I was faithful because of what you did for Abraham. I was faithful because of what you did for this person, that person. No, I'm going to be faithful because of what he does for me. This is not the end part of the process. And I thought about this. God and God's mind. Remember, the Bible says his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. In God's mind, God knew that someday there was going to be a famine in Egypt. God knew all the people that would be on the earth at that time when that famine came. God had a boy born to Rachel and to Jacob. And it says, I'm going to put something in that boy that when the famine comes, that boy right there would be able to kind of provide seed to the whole world at that time. That boy will have something on the inside of him where he can almost act like God. Everybody was coming to Egypt in those days. They were running out of food. This, he had to have a man with wisdom, and he knew the man that he would give that wisdom to. Oh, hallelujah.
That's all right. That's all right.
I got a problem. The man that I need, he's over here. Let's say he's in West Palm Beach. But I might need him in Africa. But in order for me to get him, something got to happen.
Uh-huh. All right now.
I'm talking about how God thinks. First, I'm going to show him a little dream to let him know that I'm with him. So he can have some faith and some confidence that, boy, God spoke to me.
Hallelujah.
Now, God told me what was going to happen. He just didn't tell me how it was going to happen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So he tells Joseph, he said, yeah, you're going to be my man, Joseph. You're going to be my man. I'm going to show you the dream. You see the stars, the moon, and the sun, all that. Yes, that's right. I gave you that dream, Joseph. You be encouraged. God said, I got greater purpose for you, Joseph. I need you down in Egypt. I need you down in Egypt. There's so many scriptures being fulfilled. Even God had to have his people in Egypt. Because they say, before I send Moses to deliver them, they got to be in Egypt in bondage. And they're going to be there for 400 years. God had to use a situation to get his people into Egypt so that his word could be fulfilled. Y'all understanding how God works? I'm talking about some of the stuff that you done been through in your life and you can understand why you was going through it. But God allowed that to happen to get you into a position so some other things could occur.
Amen.
And when you start thinking about it from this angle, you can look back and say, he was with me when I was in Potiphar's house. He was with me when I was in prison. He was with me when I was in my daddy's house. Everywhere I've gone, the footsteps of the righteous have been ordered of the Lord. Oh my, nothing catch God by surprise. So it shouldn't catch his people by surprise either. But here God specifically designs this, you know, situation with Joseph's brothers. He makes them hate him to put him in a pit and then sell him to the Ishmaelites. And God going through this whole process to get Joseph into Egypt, because he going to be the one that I need to kind of handle the food, this distribution of food in that time. There was a great famine in the land. He needed Joseph to do that. Now, I wrote this down. God had to arrange a way to get Joseph into the presence of Pharaoh. God had to arrange a way to get Joseph into the presence of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the leader at that time. And even Pharaoh was bothered in his own mind. How am I going to take care of this? I don't realize. I God is showing me something in a dream here, but somebody interpret to me what this dream means. But there is a fella that God had in the land. Only one. They had some magicians. They had all kind of stuff back there. But they had reached a spot where they had heard something that their magic tricks just couldn't do no job with. But there was one that God had. One that God had. There's some folk out there looking for a church to go to. I was just sharing with somebody just on yesterday, so you know that. There's a deep in us, calling out to the deep. There's a deep to respond. Yeah. And God is speaking to people. You'd be surprised at what God is telling people. I mean, all kind of things. You'd be like, wow, God spoke that to you? When you hear what God say, you know, they were saying God told them, come out of her, my people, and be separated. Don't be partakers of the sin. I said, boy, that's a scripture for the day. That scripture right there is for right now. Mm-hmm. God speaks something like that to you, that is for right now. I just wish I had the opportunity to break that down. People have these things in their heart but don't know where to turn. And that some people have emergency. When I say emergency, I'm talking about spiritual emergency situations. Spiritual. Look, God gave me a dream last night. I don't know what this means. I need to talk to somebody now. And they got to have a place that they can go to. God got to prepare the place so they can come to it. God was preparing Egypt for the people to come and get the food, because he knew who would be there. But God had to arrange certain circumstances to get the man from point A to point B. This is where I needed you. This is exactly where I needed you. Now you're probably gonna ask, why did you have to go through prison? Why did you have to go through Potiphar's house? Why did you have to do all of that? The answer is because power without character is satanic.
Right. Uh-huh.
I want you to hear that. Uh-huh. A person in a position of power, if they don't have true character, it's satanic. Y'all see that? Y'all see that? Y'all see that? Y'all see that? Y'all see it? I'm not talking about this brother that just passed away. I'm not talking about him. But we got some huge churches, and the cover's being pulled off of these ministries. At the leader of the church just don't have his life together. Mm-hmm. And the cover's being pulled off these ministries. And, you know, this is where people are sending all their money to, places like this. Put your money in a little small mission where somebody's being real.
Right.
See the work of the Lord go on. And, you know, but, I mean, these things, stuff is being uncovered. God is pulling it all off. See? One big ministry rises up, God pulls something out, and all people turn off, they run another way. There's nothing in those churches to keep the people. I'm just being honest with you. They can talk to you about prosperity, and everybody feel like, boy, I'm gonna get myself a Mercedes. Like the guy, my uncle told me in a joke, and he said the guy had this car and that car, and he had a Mercedes, not a Mercedes, but a Mercedes. Say, man, a Mercedes? What you talking about, a Mercedes? It's Mercedes now. No, Mercedes. Mercy, these payments are killing me. but they preach that prosperity gospel, and we think that God has to deal with sin in our life. God has to tell us when we're wrong and when we're right. God has to do that. And he still loves us when he tells us that we're wrong. It's still, I mean, a parent that won't correct their child is a parent that don't love their child. And just let that child just run crazy. Know that that child don't know no better. Get that child in line right now. Don't wait till they get 18 to try to talk to them. Talk to them now. If you still fear them when they're young, they'll still fear you when they get older. Even though they know that I think I can take them out, but no, they just might. I could be in there sleeping one night, and all of a sudden a pot just come out of. You got to put that kind of fear in the child. Amen, Brother Kenny. Praise the Lord. Yes, but, you know, the thing of it is here is that Joseph had to go through these processes. Let me just read it here. God had to arrange a way to get Joseph into the presence of Pharaoh. He wanted him to be second in charge. That was all God's plan at the beginning. He put him in a pit. He sold him to slaves. He placed him in Potiphar's home. He was falsely accused and thrown into jail. And I'm going to tell you something else that happened when he got to jail. There was two officers of Pharaoh's court that were end up in prison as well. And they had some dreams, and they shared it with Joseph, and Joseph told them what the dreams was. That, yeah, this is the interpretation of your dream. You're getting ready to be raised out of here. You're going back to your position.
Right.
He said, now, when you get back there, don't forget me. Oh, no, I won't forget you, Joseph. I won't forget you. I'll be right there for you. The other fellow said, tell me my dream. You told him his dream. Tell me mine. Ooh, tell me your dream. Tell me what you... He said, oh, boy, you don't want to hear this one. What? What you mean? Come on. You gave him some good news. Give me some good news. Well, this ain't got nothing to do with no good news. You don't want to hear the interpretation. Say, in 3 days, you're going to die, my friend. You can see his whole countenance change. Man, you're a false prophet. You know, you're a false prophet. 3 days that man died. The baker died, but the butler that went back, amen, to serve Pharaoh's cup. And as he was there, you know, man, he just forgot all about Joseph. The Bible said it took 2 full years. That's why I say it's not the end. Everything Joseph is going through, it's not the end. It is just part of the process. You got to go through the process. So, yea, though I walk through. You understand that? Not just come up to it. I see the valley. No, this is it. Yea, though you come to the valley, you got to walk through it. And notice now, you're walking through it. That means if you walk through it, you're going to get to the end of it at some point in time. You're not going to stay in the middle of it, but you're going to get through it at some point in time. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Daily, God's going to have to give you strength to keep walking. But the Bible tells us these things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, I ain't losing. Because my cup is supposed to not get so empty that I don't know what's getting ready to happen. My cup gonna run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's that ALL again. All the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you know what? I'm going to dwell. Well, you know what you're going through. You ought to backslide. No, next Sunday y'all going to see me here because I'm going to dwell. On Wednesday night, you're going to see me right here. On Friday night, you're going to see me right here because I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. There he was, forgotten. You know, reveal these dreams, and the man then got raised up to Pharaoh's court again. And God had it where the man just completely forgot about Joseph. And if you just read this in scripture, you see Joseph kind of just, maybe he just lost touch with everything that was going on. He let his beard grow out. He was just completely just in shambles. But all of a sudden, there was an emergency call from Pharaoh's quarters. And this butler and all the magicians that are sitting around Pharaoh's table trying to, bring comfort to Pharaoh for these dreams that he just had. And he don't know nobody that can interpret these dreams. He got the best men in town, you know, trying to interpret these dreams, but none of them can come up with the interpretation. The butler say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I forgot. There's a man that was in prison. And that man that was in prison, he told me that I'd be back serving you with this cup here. And he also told that baker that he was going to die in 3 days. Everything that man said was exactly right. Uh-huh. Sir, I think you ought to send for him. Well, go get him right away. Immediately. Straightway. They went down and got Joseph out of the prison, and they had to shave him to make himself look presentable as he was coming before a king. Now listen, y'all heard Brother Nelson say that, right? He said Brother Branham used to dress a certain way because when he came to church, he dressed a certain way because he knew he was coming into the presence of a king.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And I'm gonna tell you something else. If you, every time you come to church, know that you're coming into the presence of the King of Kings. And there's something else that needs to happen when you come to church. You cannot come with a sad countenance.
That's right.
You can't. Right? There's I think Nehemiah. You know, he was walking around sad, and the king said, why are you so sad? What is going on? I mean, you're in the presence of a king. You can't be like that. Well, you know, my city that I'm from, my hometown, it's all tore down, and I just can't believe it's like that. That used to be a glorious place. But now it's all tore down, and I just don't know what. He say, well, you know, I tell you what, why don't you get yourself a few men, and I'll send you back with orders to go rebuild it. But he couldn't stay before that king with that sad countenance. When you come before God's presence, you can't come with a sad countenance. No matter what you're going through, you still got to put a smile on your face. Just keep confessing. By his stripes, I'm healed. But you're hurting in your body. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know by his stripes, I'm healed. He was forgotten by the butler. As Joseph came before Pharaoh's court that day, and Joseph made the comment, he interpreted the dreams, what they meant. You know what? God can give us 7 years of plenty. But after them 7 years of plenty, we're getting ready to go through some famine. And the famine that we're going to go through is going to be so great that it's going to make the years of plenty look like they were nothing. Say, okay, well. He says, well, what should we do? He said, what you need to do, king, is get a man that you can trust, a real smart, wise man, and have him stop storing up this and storing up that and storing up this and storing up that, and that'll sustain everybody. If you just look at the scripture, Joseph just kind of on his way back to his prison. And the king start looking around and say, is there a man in the kingdom? Is there a man in the kingdom that's more wise than this man that's on his way back to prison? Is there a man? If y'all can't find me no man, then I think I found a man. Tell him, hey, guards, stop. Stop. You got the man that I need. And in one day time, he went from being a prisoner. I mean, somebody that everybody looked down on. Why are you even in jail? I mean, what done happened to you? And I mean, people just criticized that type of person. But in one day's time, God had turned his whole situation around. Brought him from prison to a place of power. He had to go through each one of these circumstances in order for God to eliminate some of the arrogance in his life. Some of the pride that he had in his life. And see, when you're going through stuff that you don't understand why you're going through, it's because you got certain things on the inside of you that God want to deal with. And God used situations to cut this away from you. Cut that away from you. See, I mean, you can bear with somebody that's out of work when you've been out of work. You can work with them then. You got something that you can, yeah. Not just misjudging people. We quit to judge. And the first thing, now, Brother Jack, did you do anything wrong that would cause these people to do? Brother Jack, we just got to check everything. Even today, Job still got friends. And they will come and they'll check you out. Now, you sure? Are you sure? What about it? I told some people, I say, they want to accuse me for talking about the word, I'm guilty. Amen. And I know nowadays you can't talk about the word, but there's been some times I done had some conversations on my job where I know they could have got rid of me because we just got into something. And see, the unfortunate part is that being a pastor, you feel that. And you just can't hang up on that. You can't do that right then. That don't work. You know, somebody's in need. But they didn't get me for that. They got me for a lie. Thank God it's a lie rather than something true. Because there's some stuff that I done did I know you could let me go for, but you got me over a lie. That's all right. They got Joseph over a lie too. And what I've come to understand, this is not the end. It's just part of the process.
Hallelujah.
All right, I done preached for a while here, and I did want to read one quote, if y'all don't mind me reading that, if that's okay. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to be gone. Amen. Find somebody in the Bible that identifies with what you're going through, and then take courage from that. It ain't over. Until God says over. I'll see you again. Boy, I thank God for a message that can settle your spirit. Because if we didn't have what we had, I'd be insane right now. The needs get greater. You know, not the needs get greater. It's the same need. I told God, you know what? Now, you blessed me with that job, and I was making this amount of money. Well, some kind of way, you're going to bless me and make the same kind of money. Not less. My cup going to run over. See? Now, I don't know how you're going to do that. I know you gave me that job. I mean, if he wants to give me another job, that's fine. But I'm telling you, my heart is I got a couple things in my heart. One of them is to be full-time pastor, and the other thing is get our schools running. Amen. Those are my desires. And God got other things I think he got in store, too. But we're just going to wait on that. Here, I want to just kind of bring this up. A Smyrnian church age, if y'all don't mind, just let me read this quote, and then I'll be out of the way. I think I got a paragraph 117.1 there on the sheet of paper, and I want to just scroll up just a little bit on that once we pull it up, maybe about two paragraphs from that 117.1. And it starts with, in plain language. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. And we all get home now. Just keep praying for me. Amen. Pray for my family. Amen. We're going to make it, though. We done already made it. Amen. We done already made it. I know that. I know it. Listen, amen. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. According to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to a place of perfection. Why did he want this? Because James 1, 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy. Now, that's what I saw y'all do. When I gave y'all the news, y'all, they count it all joy. And there's that A-L-L again. There's that A-L-L. That, you mean what you're going through right now? Yep, count it all joy. Hallelujah. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, now, I'm going to tell you, the reason I preach this is because I'm going to need to hear this myself. So I got, it's like a prophecy that goes out, and when the devil try to get me down, put that tape on. And then I'm going to hear myself saying, this ain't the end. It's just part of the process. And I'm going to say, amen.
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 That's all right.
I'm going to be in my car saying, amen. They're going to be like, what in the world is wrong with that fella right there? I done lost my mind, but I got the mind of Christ. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why does he stand by? I mean, when he see you going through suffering, the question is, why does God just stand by? The reason is Romans 8, 17 through 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I can tell y'all, this whole thing, the way this thing went down, I had the same way that Jesus had disciples. You know what? Jesus had 12 disciples. I had, at one time, I think I had 11 or 12 people reporting to me. And one of them turned on me. Within the last couple of weeks, one of them switched out on me. I couldn't believe it. I had to share it so much. I'm talking about, I saw the Bible repeat itself in my life. I saw it happen. And then after, you know, oh, I ain't going to say all that on tape. I just want to say that. But, you know, when y'all invite me over for dinner, I sit down and just tell you all about it. You know. Y'all know preachers like chicken. All right. And if children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. How are you going to get there into his kingdom? Through much tribulation. Through much Look, when you become a Christian, it don't get easier. It get harder. The good thing about it is you got something to fight with. You used to have nothing to fight with. But now you got something that you can fight with. You can pick up the word of God. Look the devil in the eye. This is not the end. This is just part of the process. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. It is strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering. That's why Joseph, everything that he went through, amen, he was a perfect type of Christ. The same way that Joseph was supposed to be dead. You can leave the quote there. His brothers lied on him and say, "Oh, daddy, he came and an animal ate him up. He was supposed to be dead. Jesus was supposed to be dead.
Right.
But he rose again. The same way Joseph came out of pit, Jesus came up out of hell.
All right.
The same way Joseph was sold into slavery, Jesus was sold by Judas.
Right.
And the same way Joseph came from a prison house to power, Jesus rose from hell and went to the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
And no man could come to Pharaoh but by Joseph.
Right.
No man can come to the Father but by Jesus.
Right.
Everything in Joseph's life, he didn't realize he was typing Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now today, we got to have the same type of testimony.
Amen.
So don't you run from the trial. Be like David. Who is he that defies the armies of the living God?
Oh, brothers, yes, sir. Yes.
Who is he that defies it? Everybody else running back.
All right.
Ducking. All David's big brothers and even Saul. Saul should have been there to take David out.
Come on now.
He was head and shoulders above everybody else in the army. But he ducking. And see,
Preach, brother. You in there. You in there.
When the devil think he got you, he brags.
Preach, brother. Preach. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
That's how you know it's the devil, when he start bragging.
That's it. Yes.
All you got to do is sit back and wait. He just start bragging. Look, now, ain't no sense in everybody dying out here.
Uh-huh.
Too many men to die. Just sacrifice one.
Uh-huh.
I'm Goliath, and I'm going to come out, and I'm going to fight for my people.
Yeah.
Y'all send a man out here to fight for y'all.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. Well, that sounds very reasonable. Saying, if I beat him, all y'all going to serve us. And if you beat me, then we'll serve y'all. That's the devil bragging.
Yeah.
You feel like he got some... I got the upper hand in this.
Oh, yeah.
They send somebody out here, I'm going to slaughter them.
Mm-hmm.
But here come, he was going out there too many days.
Yeah.
Day after day, about 30, 40 days, he running out there with that same old story. But one day he went out there and he came at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because David, daddy sent him down there. Now, I can preach that too. Do you know David was already the anointed king when he was fighting Goliath? He had already been anointed as king. Even though he wasn't a king, he had already been anointed as king. So what I'm trying to tell you is that nothing could happen to David until he came into his kingdom. I don't care how many times he was on the run from Saul. I don't care how many Goliaths he faced in his life. Nothing could happen to David. He slept in caves, all kind of animals up in there. Nothing could happen to David until he came into his full position. He was already anointed king. And didn't even realize. Just something struck him one day. What, Daddy, I'm going down here to check on. Daddy's sitting around there with some food for the boys and. Okay, David, go check on your brothers and come on back. He got down there, and here comes Goliath making that boast. David said, who is that? And everybody ducking. You don't know who that is? No, I ain't been around any spots. Who's that? Amen. Maybe making defying all the armies of the living God. He know who we is. What boys? What y'all doing? Why? What is going on here? Saul, where you at, Saul? Nobody ain't gonna fight him. I fight him. What you mean you gonna fight him? I mean, you a little boy. Y'all ever heard that? How many brothers ever been called little boy? You just hate that. Don't. I might be boy, but don't call me. Don't. Little boy, not little boy, but little boy. Little boy. Don't call me little boy. This man is a warrior from his youth, and you just a little boy. Talk about you going to go fight. Boy, get on out of here. Hold on. Let me tell you something. King, can I get presence with the king? Can I just talk to the king? Y'all ain't going to believe it anyway. Let me talk to the king. King, while I was out watching my daddy's sheep, there was a bear came up. Now, y'all don't understand bears. When y'all going to the zoo.
How are you in there? My goodness. My goodness.
God is good. When y'all at the zoo, there ain't no bears. Oh, Brother Branham shot a 9-foot-tall grizzly. I mean, I'm talking about Goliath size. Goliath was over 8 feet tall. I mean, you imagine something taller than Shaq that you're running up into. I mean, and David was not a big man. He was a pretty small fellow running into somebody big as Shaq. A foot taller than Shaq or more, right? And here, I mean, you know, you can imagine what this man looked like. And he had an armor, the way he's built and this armor that he got. Now, the thing about it, there was only one place in this man's army that he could be attacked. And it was a hole right here. That's the only place. So when they tried to give David a sword, that wasn't going to work. God knew it wasn't going to work. When David says to me, man, I took out a bear. That bear took one of my daddy's sheep. And it's a shame for a shepherd to lose a sheep.
Right.
So I'm going to get that one sheep that bear got. No, you can't have this one. You better go to another a shepherd somewhere. But you ain't going to have this one.
Yeah.
Here. And not only that. You don't believe that? There was a lion one time came and got one of my daddy's sheep. And y'all, again, I'm not talking about what y'all see at the lion. No. Not. Them fellas don't even move when they see humans. They ain't got to go get their food. People bring it to them every day. They already know. What? Chase what? Sit right here. I mean, that's the way they think. Man, we got the humans trained. They work for us. You know? So why I'm going to chase him? No, he's not the food. He's bringing food.
Yeah.
But you get out there in the wilderness now. And here, Brother Branham, again, a 9-foot lion that he shot. 9 feet. Imagine that. I went to a brother's house in Africa, and I saw one. That man had that thing mounted, sitting up on. I said, Lord, if I would have saw that out there, they would have not found me. And can you, I mean, I'm talking, this thing huge. And these brothers hunt, they go hunting for these things. No, brother, not me. I'm not looking for nothing like that, you know. I'm not even going out there. But here this man was shot, and I got to sit in his house. I said, oh, my goodness. Now that thing there, and they say actually a lion, what gets you is the roar. The roar is what put, I mean, once you hear him roar, your heart just drops, and that's what kills you right there, because of the roar.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible says that Satan goes around.
Yes.
What's the key word?
Yes.
As a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Now, when I say as a roaring lion, what he doing is,
And you see him with his big mouth open, but he ain't made a sound, and you running from his mouth being open. He can't even make a sound.
My Lord.
He's as a roaring lion.
My Lord.
As, trying to act like a lion. But here this lion, David said, you know, I done been out there, and I done took care of a bear, I done took care of a lion. This Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine, he gonna be just like the lion and the bear. Now notice David had to speak it first.
All right, that's it.
Before God would do anything. It's got to come out your mouth.
Right.
And what's coming out of my mouth, this is not the end.
Amen.
This is part of my process. Hallelujah. All right, you give me, here, take my armor. You going out there. Man, this stuff is way too heavy for me. I can't do nothing with this. Saul, I'm sorry. I appreciate it, but I can't fight like this.
Right.
This is wearing me down. I can't do battle for the Lord when I'm all weighted down.
Amen.
I got to release, get rid of some of this stuff that's keeping me down.
Right.
So now I can do something for God.
Yeah.
I hope y'all understand what I'm trying to say. All right, go on out there with your slingshot. But remember, this man had an armor that the only open spot was right there in the center of the head. And David went and got himself 5 smooth stones.
All right, come on.
And I think Brother Caleb told us that the reason he got smooth stones, because when you pull it back to throw it, it would just be a straight shot. See, but if it was all ragged or jagged-type rocks, then, hey, man, it'd just be going all over the place. But when he took smooth stones, it's like it's going to reach its destination. So he got 5 smooth. And 5 is F-A-I-T-H. Faith. In who? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. 5 smooth stones. Let me also share something with you. A stone represents a revelation. Maybe all you need is 5 clear-cut revelations that God can reveal to you, and you just stand on that.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I had 5 things in my Bible that I was praying about.
All right.
One of those things was my job. God just delivered me.
Amen.
David picked them up and got them in his shot. And Goliath said, boy, you come out here, I don't see why they send a little boy to do a man's job. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Boy, you'll never do nothing like this again. You're going to die today. You know, you're speaking, it's not me, it's not my battle, it's the Lord's battle. You're not fighting me, you're fighting God. Sometimes you got to tell people that. You ain't fighting me, this is God. This battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. Me and my wife used to stand up every morning, and we still do it. You know, when I start going through the trial, we stand up, and before we leave the house, we have family prayer, and then me and her go into the room together, and we just stand there and hold hands, and we just begin to sing, I'm a conqueror, victorious, I'm reigning with Jesus, I'm seated in heavenly places with him. The kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory. The kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power.
Amen.
That was our theme song. I think God looked down and saw, look at them. Holding hands and singing, kingdom of God is within me. And he don't even know today what I got set up for him. But after it happened, we go right back out the next day and read our scriptures. Do everything we was doing before, because I still believe God. This not the end. It's just part of the process. Boy, there, David went out and said, no, you coming against the living God, not me. David took that thing and slung it back. Wham. One throw. Hitting the only spot that it could hit. Right in the center of the forehead. Knocked Goliath down. Jumped up. Took Goliath's sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
I just, that's bad. A man cut your head off with your own sword. That's the God that we serve. Look, thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. And if the seed produced that in David's day, and the seed produced that in Joseph's day, then that same seed will produce victory in my day. All right, let's finish. Characters of victory, not a gift. Okay, no, that's not it. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. And we all have trials. And we are all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried isn't of God. Listen. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. There is no age free from it. There is no true believer free from it. This is of God. This is the will of God. Can you say that? This is the will of God. What I'm going through is the will of God. And not only that, look at what it says. It is needful. Tell yourself, it is needful. I got to go through this. Amen. Amen. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we ought to suffer and be in doing it. That's why I had to shake their hands. Because I'm going to suffer and I'm going to be Christ-like in doing it. You know what Jesus did to Judas? Washed his feet. Knowing that he was getting ready to betray him. Amen. Be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffereth long and is kind. Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is it. I'm bringing it home right here. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? You're not going to know because he blessed you. Because he gave you a house on the hill. That's not how you're going to know whether God loves you or not. You're going to know because he said so and manifested that he did love us, for he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. Amen. I can't come before the king with a sad countenance. Amen. I got to conduct myself like I got some joy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I got to speak to the devil and tell him, hey, this is not the end. It's just part of the process. Amen. So in the midst of my trial, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
My God. My, let's pray. Father God, we just appreciate your spirit. Appreciate your word that gives us courage and strength, comfort, help, Lord, whenever we're going through. No trial too great that you can't give us power to overcome. We realize that, Lord, and if you're on our side, then who can be against us? The trial, Lord, that we face, and not just me, everybody in here got something that they're going through. We all have a part of suffering that we must go through. But, Father, we got to go through with joy in the midst of it. We can't be complaining. We can't do that. That's Lord, that only delays the whole process when we conduct ourselves in that manner. But if we just can approach it knowing that you would never bring us to it if you couldn't bring us through it. That's not the God that we serve. God, you made a tremendous victory there for David. Joseph's testimony ended up glorious. Glorious testimony, God, of how you raised him from prison. Amen, that condition there. And you allowed him to come into a place of power. And Lord, even when he came there, that place of power, the trials didn't stop. He still had some more trials that he had to go through. And one was even when his family came to him. Because of the famine in the land, they came. And God, he had to show that he had changed. Not only had he changed, but his family had changed as well. You allow all these things to happen to produce a Christ-like character. Every trial, every tribulation, every distress is to bring out your glory. Father, we thank you for it, and we bless you. Help us, Lord, to receive this today. Some going through in their bodies, some going through in their jobs, some going through in their spirits, but help them to realize that where they are right now, this is not the end. It is simply a part of the process. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's just give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I almost forgot that. I'm sorry. We got school on tomorrow. I got some young people going back to school. Amen. And we anoint them with oil before they go back into school. That God would just keep them. And I think this is appropriate. We have a lot of stuff happening in our schools nowadays. Things that weren't happening when I was in school. Amen. But now it is occurring, and we want to anoint all the children. So if I can have all of our kids just line up, maybe here on this wall over here to the right, we'll pray for you. Amen. This morning before you go back in on tomorrow. That's college, whatever, you know, if everybody can come, and teachers as well, we'll pray for them as well. Amen. If you will be going into school. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for each one of our children. Amen. The teachers, those that will be working with the kids. We thank God for that. And we're looking forward for a successful year. Amen. From each one of them. Praise the Lord. Let's pray before we leave on today. God, we just thank you for all that you've done here. We just appreciate your great presence. You are a mighty God. Amen. You are a strong tower that we run into and we're safe. It's so good to know, Lord, that we can stand. Amen. On your word. We can stand, Lord. On every promise that you've made, knowing that it's yea and amen and not one will fail. You are the God that healeth us. And Lord, you're the one that makes a way where there is no way. We thank you for it. Bless each one as they leave this church, but not your presence. Keep them in your tender care. Keep them encouraged and strengthened, Lord, by your word. And we ask, God, that you would just, amen, continue to speak to every heart. Lord, we know whatever we're going through and whatever the state of the matter is, it's not the end. It's just part of the process. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. It ain't over.